Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me. Well, first of all, hold your Bible, whatever you carry the word on in your hand, hold it up, and let's give the devil a headache this morning. Say after me, I hold in my hand the keys to the kingdom, the word of God, the authority of God. Whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now stand on your feet, if you will, as we honor God in the reading of His Word. Two passages of Scripture that I want to call to your attention this morning as we open our hearts and allow Yahweh to speak to us through His Word this morning. The first is our preaching passage that comes from the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and the second to the last chapter, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, and we will read verses 1 through 5. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse number 19. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. Revelation chapter 15. Number one, I'm coming out of the King James Version of the Bible. And it reads, and I saw a new what? A new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more what? Sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as what? A bride adorned to do what? For her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the what, everybody? The tabernacle of God is with man. And he shall what? Dwell with them, and they shall what? Be his people. And God himself shall do what? Be with them and be their God. Oh, here's where it gets better. And God shall what? Wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more what? Death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more what? Pain. Why? For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold what? I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are what? True and faithful. Somebody shout hallelujah. Behold, I make all things new. Not some things, not most things. Behold, I make all things new. Right? These words are true and faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you just flip that Revelation a few books, run into 1 Corinthians right after Romans. If you get to Romans, you've gone too far. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 19. And it reads, if in this life only we have what?
Only
hope Christ. In Christ, we are what?
Of all
we're of all men most miserable. Pray with me, Yahweh, the hour is coming in that your son Yeshua, whom others call Jesus, must be lifted up. Yeshua said, if I be lifted up, I, Yeshua, will draw all men, all women, all boys, and all girls unto me. So lift Jesus up again today. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. When this experience shall come to a pause, may Yeshua be heard. Yeshua be understood, and Yeshua be obeyed, for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen, amen, and amen. For the time that is allotted to us to share in the word of God this morning, I want to speak on the topic, a commercial for the new Jerusalem. A commercial for the new Jerusalem. I am in this new era, just like you are, and of course, everything you want to hear and do, you go to YouTube. Everybody and their grandmama's got a YouTube channel. And one of the things, Sister Johnson, that I have come to notice about YouTube is if you have enough viewers, I'm told at least 10,000 plus, they will put commercials on your channel. But the thing about commercials, at least the YouTube commercials that I've seen, is it always compares two things and contrasts. Oh, you got back pain and you want to get rid of it, but you know your doctor's been telling you to do this, that, and the third. But here is, you know, they're always putting down the old and accentuating the new. Is anybody listening? That's how you do commercial, because you are trying to sell something that people do not know much about. And because they do not know much about it, they do not recognize and realize, Elder Landry, that they have options. And so this morning, I want to do a commercial about the new Jerusalem. I want to let people know that even though you are used to this old city, that you do have options. That there's something new, something modern, something better is ahead. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got options. And so let me describe the old earth and old cities in which we lived before I talk about the new earth and the new city called Jerusalem. Is that all right? It is unusual today, Sister Mossy, to turn on the television or a radio and not hear some immense tragedy that has just occurred, either at the hand of nature or of humanity. Elder Prochet, it is unusual today to pick up the phone and call a friend or family, or bump into someone in a street, in a market, without a somber, "Have you heard?" followed by a sobering narrative of some tragedy, some calamity that has just happened, maybe in the neighborhood.
maybe in the city, or in some city, some state, some country, somewhere in our world. Brothers and sisters, we are living in perilous times. This is an era, and a time, a season of fear, of trepidation, of just total pessimism and self-centeredness. And how can we not be fearful when every time we turn around, we're seeing something ugly going on? How can we not be pessimistic when every news that we hear, when everybody that we talk to, when the leaders of our world and our nation and our cities that we have trusted and elected to serve us are self-serving?
Yes.
They are not being honest and transparent. When everyone is looking out for their three best friends, me, myself, and I. How, my friends, can we not be fearful when every time we turn around, there's a tsunami or some hurricane here? There's an earthquake there. There's some problem and some storm and some tragedy here, there. How can we not be antsy in this world? When nature, Mother Nature, seemed to be in a context with humanity and seemed to be leading in this sinister context that's intended to bring humankind to a sudden and painful end. How can we not be wary in this world? When governments that used to be considered the superpowers of the world because of their social, financial, and military might are now hitting rock bottom, losing everything they have nowhere to turn, and now in this season, a pandemic, they call it a novel pandemic, that is wiping people out. Now we gotta walk around with masks. Every time you bump into somebody, you gotta get a sanitizer. You gotta sit distances from each other. Something called COVID-19 has intruded our world, and every time we turn around, Elder Wilson, we're burying somebody. Paul was right when he said to Timothy, these are perilous times, and man's hearts will fail them for fear. In this present world, in this present city and cities around this world, every time you listen, some calamity, something that mankind had never imagined what happened. Chicago has become the next Vietnam. Battlefield, young people killing each other with guns. And it doesn't even move anybody. as he can until he is either caught or shot dead. The more guns are being sold. School is no longer the place where our children go to learn and play. It seems now that a bulletproof jacket and a combat helmet is going to be recommended now as a required uniform to protect our children from the next mass shooter in school. All beloved and the leaders of our world, this idea of a one-world government that used to be a far-fetched ideology of some distant tomorrow has become a present reality. And the excuse that they are using, Elder Jones, is so that they can protect mankind from himself, from self-destructing. So we need a one-world government. People are being sold lies, and our news reporters that are supposed to be objective, that are supposed to just call it like it is, they won't even call a lie a lie. They call it a mistruth. Misinformation. Last time I checked, the Word of God said, lie is an abomination unto God. Oh, they're concerned. And listen to me. I'm talking about this world that we are living in right now, beloved, because I'm giving you a commercial for the New Jerusalem. They will argue and fight and even kill.
That's right.
In the pretense of trying to protect an unborn fetus or baby in the womb of a mother that has no identity, no name, and we're not even sure will come to turn and be delivered, but they will shoot a living human being that has a name, that has families, that has friends, that have loved ones attached to her in the back. And it'll come back and say, it was not a crime by the police. They will lie and don't realize that lying is just as bad as murder. This is the world we live in, beloved. This is the world in which we are. And so there is this spirit of pessimism, this spirit of fear, this spirit of ambivalence, this spirit of not knowing where to turn and who to turn to, and those who do not know the Christ, those who are not covered by his blood, those who have not made the decision to follow Jesus all the way, are dealing with an age of broken dreams. Most of them are throwing up their hand in surrender to life. I, some time ago, was watching the Dr. Phil show. Did I say watching? I meant to say listening. And Dr. Phil was talking about this problem that has crept up in our nation, young people committing suicide. They're killing themselves because they cannot trust leadership. They have no faith in the adults that's supposed to be mentoring and rearing. are filling them for fear. A few weeks ago, our own youth and young adult ministry called our attention to what I believe is becoming an epidemic in this nation. And conveyed us to seek Yahweh's intervention in this epidemic. Young people, you know the world has hit rock bottom. When young people in the summer, in the spring of their lives, have no hope for nothing to live for. And they're taking their own lives, a dying, a dozen. And so, beloved, the big thing in the church now is about how to make it in this world. Most of your great preachers, the affluent preachers, the preachers that are making waves in the media, that have thousands of people following them, are the preachers that are teaching how to make destiny in this world. How to prepare to face this world. How to get all the money you can get in this world. How to build the big house up on Sugar Hill in this world. How to maintain a good career and go up the corporate ladder in this world. And I'm not pushing against that. We should encourage people on how to live in this world. Then our Lord Yeshua himself said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 13, occupy until I come. So we cannot be so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good. But the Apostle Paul, beloved, is right when he says to us in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have faith in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Oh yes, we have to occupy, we have to make it here. But if all of our confession and faith in Christ and all of our zeal and passion is about how to make it in this world alone, Paul says we are miserable. We are most miserable, my friends. Why? Because this world is fleeting. This world is not going to last. And as much as we have to have a house to live in, we have to have a job to be able to pay the bills, we have to have a vehicle to go from point A to point B, and all that we are passionate about is the next promotion and the big house and the picket fence and all this stuff just for this world. Paul says we are of all men not just miserable, but most miserable. You cannot make this world your priority. It cannot be the primary object, my friends, because everything in this world, no matter how much money you got in the bank, no matter how big and how nice your house look, no matter how what power and authority and position you have, all is vanity. It is vanity, my friends, and it is fleeting. It will pass away. You know, Elder Prochet, I had a rude awakening a few years ago. I think it was about 6 years ago. We were moving from New Orleans to come to Baton Rouge. We were packing to prepare to transition from our old assignment to this new assignment. And you know, when you're packing, you're looking through things, and I stumble on a picture. It was my senior prom picture. And at that time, I still had my eyes, I still could see. And when I looked at the picture, I got sad. I said, "Woo!" And my wife said, "What's going on?" I said, "Is this me?" And all of a sudden, I realized that evolution is a lie. And the word of God is true. Because evolution says, Minister Nate, that we are getting better. We are evolving. You know, we're moving from an embryo, from a protozoa, from this little thing, and we're getting better and brighter and more beautiful. And I looked at that picture, and then I looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, "No, evolution cannot be true." I remember when I had a little bush. It wasn't like yours, Elder Jones. You know, my was a little natty. We had to get the electric pig, you know. Your sisters were braiding in the night, and then you wake up in the morning and lose it, and you put the pig in, and then you blow it up and pray that it doesn't rain or the wind doesn't blow. Oh, I ain't got nobody in here listening to me. And then I had a little part on the left side. I'm looking at this picture, and I'm looking at the young sister that I took on my day on my prime, and I'm looking at me, and I'm saying, "What happened?" But I stop by to tell you, beloved, you may be giggling with me, and you got to laugh so we all don't cry. But if you look at your picture, and you compare it to 20 years ago, and 30 years ago, and 50 years ago, you will say the same thing I'm saying. What happened to me? Because it doesn't matter how pretty, how young, how vibrant you are, sooner or later life catches up with you. Sooner or later, beloved, that jet black hair, that golden brown, or that pretty brown begin to turn gray and start to fall out. Sooner or later, that nice set of teeth turn to dangerous. Sooner or later, that smooth, beautiful face, such as Johnson, begin to wrinkle, and you ask yourself, "What's going on?" And you realize that the word of God is true. We are frail, we are fragile, and we are fleeting. We are here today, and we are here no more. Oh, but I'm so glad. Now, this is not the end to the story. I wish somebody would hear me. I'm so glad that there is an option. And that option comes to us, beloved, in the promise that Yeshua made to us in John 14 when he said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. We are." I know you're looking at that picture and you're wondering what happened, but don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Why are you talking about Yeshua? He said, "I'm going to prepare a place." I'm talking about a commercial for the New Jerusalem. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Aren't you glad today, beloved, that we have options? That we don't have to be stuck in this world that is failing and dying and falling apart. We have an option. Those of us who have given our lives and are under the banner of the blood of Yeshua, and those who will make that decision today to go under the banner of the blood, you have option. turn to your neighbor and say, I've got options. He is preparing a place for us. Oh, beloved, I thank God with all of the death that's going around. In the last 2 months, I have been to so many funerals and preached several of them. I can't even remember the count. And we're wondering, what's next? Oh, but I thank God we have options. And John, the apostle, was given the divine privilege being taken into vision in the rarefied heavens and given a glimpse of this new city. And he brought us back word. Oh, my friends, this word, this commercial, is not intended for everybody. Why do you say it, preacher? Because for those who will not choose this option, for those who will not make a decision to be under the blood of Yeshua, for those who think that all that they have is resident in this world now, will not have any need to want to find out about this new city. And so John sandwiched this revelation in a code, in metaphors, so that only those who desire to be there can dig to understand it. Only those who desire to be there will ask the Holy Ghost to give them insight in this inside information about the new city. I invite you to take a walk with me this morning in the teachings of our text found in Revelation chapter 21. Verse 1 through 5, and there we will see three amazing features about this new city. I said I'm giving a commercial for the New Jerusalem. Oh, my brothers and sisters, when we look at these three amazing features, the first of the three amazing features we see in this commercial about this new city called New Jerusalem is the modernity of the city. Everybody say the modernity of the city. John said the city is a modern city. He said it is a new city. Lord, watch this. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 and verse 5. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Watch this. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And you drop to verse 5, John writes, and he that sat on the throne said to me, behold, I make all things new. I'm talking about the modernity of the city. I'm talking, you know, we're in this age where, you know, they're always coming and it gets on my nerves. I had to call Apple. I believe it was yesterday, that's right. They come up with these new, what you call it, updates. You know, you get used to the old one and everything is, excuse me, user-friendly and you just doing your work, and then you fool around and the new update comes and it goes and it messes everything up. Yes. And you got to call me, well, how do I do this? I bring my poor daughter, you know, she's my eyes because of my eye problem, and I have to tell her, I have my daughter on the phone, I have you on speaker, and at you, man. And we had to go through that. Everybody is trying to do something new, but I thank God that Yahweh is doing something new.
Yeah. Yes.
A few years ago, I needed a new computer. And I went online. But the computers I saw, I couldn't afford. So Apple had a commercial. I'm talking about the commercial of the New Jerusalem. They said, we have refurbished. Do I have that company in the house? Yeah, we had a refurbished computer. Somebody had used it before. It's an older computer, but it brought it back to the factory. And it changed some components in it and tweaked some things in it, brush it off and shine it off. And it looks new, but it's not really new. It is renovated. It is refurbished. But I thank God when he said, behold, I make all things new. He's not talking about a refurbished and a renovated earth. You don't hear me today. How do you know that, Pastor Weaver? I'm so glad you had come with me. Let's go in the Word. John says in Revelation 21 and verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was what? Ooh, I'm so glad somebody reading their Bible in. John said there were no more sea. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. When you read Genesis 1 verse 2, Genesis 1 verse 2 says that God first created the sea, the waters. The Hebrews said the yamin was tohu vavohu. In other words, the water was there was confusion and void in the water, and God said, "Let there be light." God began to bring order out of this water, this sea, this ocean that he had made, and he separated the water from the waters, and the water that was up, he called the firmament, and the water that was down, he called the sea. And then when you go to verse 9, God said, let the sea gather together and let dry land appear. That's how the earth was first made. The earth is made out of water. But God says, the new earth that I'm making, I'm not making it the way I made the whole earth. I'm not making it out of water. There will be no sea for me to tell to gather together. In other words, this new earth will have a new and completely novel, different atomic structure, chemical structure, atmospheric and biographic structure that is not in the old world. This is not refurbished. This is not a renovation. He is not taking something out of the old earth to fix up, to make the new earth. God said, I'm making everything new from scratch. I wish somebody would. Why, God? Because this whole earth has been contaminated with sin, and iniquity will not rise the second time. And I don't want anything that's coming out of the old creation to find its way in the new creation, so I'm going to destroy everything. New heaven, new earth, new molecules, I don't know bless his name. He said there will be no need for the sun and the moon. Because the glory of God will be the light of that city. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to be new. New in form, new in structure, new in substance, new. So, the first amazing feature of this new Jerusalem is the modernity of the city.
Yes, sir.
But because of the modernity of the city, we now go to the second amazing feature.
All right.
The maker and the mayor of the city.
Yes,
sir. Somebody said the maker and the mayor.
Maker and
the mayor. Oh yeah, we're going to have a one word government.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, and it's not going to be like the leaders of the world are talking about today. Yahweh. I'm not making this up. Let me take you to the text. Revelation chapter 21, verse 2 and 3. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. So he's the maker. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And then verse 3 said, and I heard a great voice out of heaven say, watch this, I'm talking about the mayor here. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he shall be with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God. Turn to somebody and say, he's going to be my mayor. I'm so glad that I won't have to worry about Trump. That's what I said. And if you think it's any better than Trump, I won't have to worry about Biden either. God himself will run this government. God will live amongst us. He will tabernacle with us. I wish I could tell you about the size of the city. I wish I could tell you about the geographical layout of the city. I wish I could tell you about the streets of the city. I wish I could tell you about the modern structures of the city. But time will not allow me to tell you. So let me hurry and tell you the third amazing feature of this city.
All right.
Now, the third amazing feature of this city is this city will be menace and malignant free. The menace and malignant free security of this city. How do I know that? Right there in verse 4. And God, oh bless his name. I told you he's the mayor, right? God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
Yes.
And there shall be no more death. The menace of death, the malignant, painful intrusion of death will be no more. There shall be no more sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. I stopped by to tell somebody, you may have lost a loved one. You may have lost a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife, a friend. You may have lost a child. You may be dealing with some sickness right now. Brother Bill, I stopped by to tell you that in that city it will be menace and malignant free, and God will do it himself. Listen, when Yahweh deposited this word in my spirit, it was for me. I just want you to eavesdrop on it, because this was for me to encourage me. Because every time I wake up and I think I'm about to see, and I still find out that everything is dark and shadowy around me, I say, Lord, how long? he says to me, we are not wrong. Because I
come on now.
Will build a new city. That will be menace free.
Yes.
Malignant free.
Yes.
Says Johnson, no breathing problem, no lung problem in this city. And watch this. You got to go back and read the text. Let me tell you, Revelation is one of the most beautiful books of the Bible. But people can't understand the encryption in which it is cryptic. And so they hide from it. But this book, look at what it says. God is not only the mayor, but he is the law enforcer. I thought when God in his awesome sovereign power, his divinity, angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. I thought God was going to send some errand boy to do this work of freeing this new city from man's malignity. But the Bible said God will not deputize anybody. God will not call no angel, no seraphim, no cherubim. Hey, the fact, the reality, the necessity for this city to be menace free and malignant free is so important. Of the person that Yahweh himself will do it. Look at the text. God himself, oh, bless his name, will wipe away all tears from their eyes. God himself will get away, get rid of death in this new city. God himself will get rid of sorrow. In this new city, God himself will get rid of crying. In this new city, God himself will get rid of pain. In this new city, God himself, bless his name, and to punctuate and validate the surety of it, he ends by saying to John, behold, I make all things new. And John, I don't want you to keep this in your mind, because minds get frail and they're forgetful, but paper and pen doesn't forget. So write it in a book, John. He said, write these words because they are true and faithful. And God is telling you to write something down. That means God means what he's saying. And he's saying exactly what he means. One day, I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to see as far as eyesight can go. One day, I'm going to wake up in the morning. There's going to be no cancer, no heart attack, no depression. One day, I'm going to get up and I won't have to bury another sister. One day, I'm going to get up and I won't have to bury my dead. One day, I'm going to get up and I won't have to worry about my children and they're going to bury me, or if I'm going to bury them. One day, I'm going to get up and I'm not going to think I've said goodbye. One day, I don't know what you are going through, but I tell you, this is my message. This is for me. It lets me know we are. You may be going through some things right now, and you may not be able to handle it, but it's okay. Behold, I make all things new. Is there two people in here who's excited that no matter what you're going through, no matter how bad things are going to be, sooner or later, God is going to flip the switch. He's going to make all things new. He's going to make a new heaven. He's going to make a new earth. He's going to think you've heard it all. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into the hearts of men. But God has prepared for his children. I want to open the doors of the church. Somebody's in here today. I want to say, preacher, I want to be in that city.
Until their calling